Welcome to Secrets to Health here on the Mornington Peninsula. I'm Angela Jacobson, and today we're going to be discussing the topic of stress. We've got lots of great guests coming on the show, and we've got lots of prizes to give away. We're going to be back after the break to continue to talk about stress and some of the things we can do to avoid. We've got an author going to be talking to us about a book she's written to help de-stress, and we'll be finding out lots of events that are happening across the Mornington Peninsula. Our next guest is Ruth, who has written a book, which is called From Misery to Mastery, The Journey to Freedom and Empowerment. Welcome to the show, Ruth.
Thank you, Angela.
And can you tell us a little bit about your book and what inspired you to write it?
Thank you for having me on the show, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, From Misery to Mastery became an idea when last year I connected with someone who told me about how she helps people write books within 48 hours. And I would never have thought that I would publish my own book, apart from having written a book by hand for my oldest child many, many years ago when she was little. But several years ago, my marriage turned upside down. I was living in an abusive relationship for many years. And several seeds were planted that led to this book in the end, I believe. Because I was going through an abusive relationship, I ended up in court over it. And I was basically taking the perpetrator to court over what I felt he had done to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge at the time, or the magistrate at the time, sent me back home for 2 weeks saying that I had been living in that situation for so long and another couple of weeks wouldn't make a difference. I felt...
That's terrible.
Yes, I felt terrible, and the situation in itself was awful as it was, because I wouldn't have run to the court for help in that case, or in my case. And I felt that...
It's such a brave thing to do, and then to have that response.
Yes, that's right. I was devastated. I was very, very upset that that was happening, and I felt like I was being sent back into the lion's den,
mm-hmm.
having to live in that situation for the next 2 weeks with my children and with my ex-husband knowing what was going on. That was quite a fearful situation at the time, and I felt I wanted to do something back then already, but I just didn't have the emotional strength at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I left in 2012, another seed was planted for me as well, when I had taken my children out of that situation, and it happened all of a sudden, or divine timing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't planned over months and weeks, although I had wanted to leave the situation for many, many years. But that particular morning, I decided that I needed to get out, and I felt that in the pit of my stomach, I knew that I couldn't stay one more night under that roof.
Mm-hmm. Especially for your children's sake.
Yes, and I took them, and I went to stay with a friend who took me in for a few days. And when I'd left, you know, the logic sets in as well, the practical steps that you have to do. I went to the police to tell them what I had done, because I heard via a family member that he was threatening to have me charged with abducting the children.
Mm.
But because I had the intervention order out against him, I felt that I could go to the police and tell them what I had done, and they protected me, and as far as they said, I don't need to tell him where I was. And I just felt that I needed to tell them so that they didn't then turn up and charge me with something where mm-hmm. all I was trying to do was get into safety, to get mm-hmm. ourselves into safety.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other process of, going to lawyers and putting certain steps into place became an almost daily thing for me, and yet I felt that I was just doing the motions,
mm-hmm.
and I also felt that I didn't want to continue anymore. I felt like a little child at the time. I remembered feeling so helpless, and I know I had my family and my friends support supporting me, but I still needed someone to tell me, to hold my hand, to come up to me and say, look, Ruth, I'll hold your hand, I'll help you, I'll guide you, I'll show you exactly the steps, what you need to do to get things sorted and to get out. Because there's no one list, I believe, of things that you need to do to get your life back on track.
No.
And I think that was another seed that was planted to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
And another seed that was planted for me was when I've had many businesses before, but I turned to coaching, to life coaching and business coaching. And I remember I had gone to a business seminar, business workshop for the day, and I was talking to a lady who had lost a child through SIDS, and she had started a charity business through that, a non-profit one.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying to her, but I don't know what my story is, what my purpose is behind, you know, my business. What? How can I empower people? How can I help them? I knew I wanted to help people and coach them. But exactly what it was, I felt that I didn't have that purpose down packed. And she said to me, yes, you do have a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was my story, my journey with domestic violence, that I could then go on and mentor people and put those steps and strategies that I had taken on for myself back then, which I impart within my book, that's how I could help people. And as I drove home that afternoon, I was thinking about what she had said, and I started crying, and I realized that my tears weren't for myself, for what I had actually gone through, which was terrible in itself, but it was for those women that I knew were suffering still behind closed doors and who didn't know which way to turn and what to do when they stepped out.
Yeah.
So that was a very empowering time and a very empowering moment for me back then as well. So when I was connected with my mentor in writing this book within 48 hours, it was brilliant. So I did an audio recording over 48 hours of my book, and then the work of editing
wow.
and so on started.
Wow. So that's part of the writing the book in 48 hours that you mentioned as well.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
I was wondering how you do that. I'm an author myself. I've written two books, and it certainly didn't take 48 hours, but I guess if you do that's a great way to do it.
It is, yes. I felt a bit strange doing it at first, but then after it flows, it's good because you know, when you write,
heart.
You can't write
mm-hmm.
quick enough.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a fantastic way.
Yeah.
Wow. So your book, where is it available?
My book's available on my website, which is www.ruthstutkin.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then also at Farrell's Bookstore in Mornington mm-hmm. and Peterson's Bookstore in Hastings.
Okay, and you're going to give one of our lucky listeners a copy, is that correct?
I sure am.
That's amazing. So what I'm going to do is after the show, I'll put it up on Facebook, the Secrets to Health Facebook page, and we'll run a competition, and you'll have your chance to win the book that way, listeners. So thank you, Ruth, for telling us all about that, and congratulations on going on that journey and making that decision for yourself and your children.
Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Well, all the best, and thanks so much for your book.
Thank you.
All right, Welcome. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Ruth.
You too. Bye.
Our next guest we've got on the phone is Anne-Marie Sampson from the Australian Nanny Association. Welcome to the show, Anne-Marie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I'm obviously one of the nannies that's on the committee and part of the Australian Nanny Association, as lots of people will be aware. But I wanted to get you on the show today to tell us a little bit about the convention that we're putting on this year in Melbourne.
Yes, that's really exciting. We've got lots of fun things planned, and thanks to you, Angela, for helping me out with that, and working together with you has been fantastic. We've got people like Rachel Coop, who is a play school presenter, and she's a single mum, and she's coming to us to talk to us about juggling family life and work and childcare. And we've also got a few other people like Jo Ryan from Baby Bliss talking about sleep and postnatal care and how nannies can work together with families to get their babies into a good routine.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I'm trying to think who else we've got.
I really like is that we're doing for the self-defense, because obviously there's been a few cases in the media and obviously a lot that aren't in the media of different things happening to nannies and girls in particular. So I think it's important that everybody knows some self-defense. So I'm quite looking forward to that segment as well.
That is a really good thing, actually, because you don't think about that as a nanny. I think you don't think about those things like arriving late at night, even just to do, you know, nighttime babysitting. But also if you're looking after specialised clients that might be a bit high profile, or mm-hmm. Or even just walking around in different places, taking the kids to the park. You just don't know. So I think it's really good, and even for any woman really, or person that's wanting to learn self-defence.
Yeah, I guess, because you can't say, oh, I'm finishing at 10 or at 11. Obviously people get home from dinner or at their events at random times. So it's difficult for the younger girls that are relying on lifts as well. I think it's just a good thing for people to know. But we've got obviously lots of things going on, and I'm going to be there on the day, and I will be videoing, and I'll be also interviewing some of the guests, which will be playing on Secrets to Health at a later date. But tell us a little bit, if people want to buy a ticket, it's not just nannies, we've got agencies going as well. Where do people go?
And families. We'd really like to see some families there who, you know, families generally, because it's the type of speakers that we've actually got will help families with their type of thing that they're doing with childcare and bringing up their children as well. You know, we've got organisations like Panda talking about PMD, postnatal depression. We've got an autism partnership workshop as well. All sorts of things that are relevant to parents. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, nanny agencies and babysitting agencies would really welcome to come along. And it's really about the industry working together to create a fun, social, let our hair down event at the end of the year, but also about education and supporting quality care in the home.
Yeah, and we've got some amazing goodie bags being put together. I've had quite a few great things donated already, and I love the fact that we're having the social event in the evening, going to go let our hair down and have a bit of a boogie.
Yes, that's really exciting. I'm eager to see what's in those goodie bags, actually. Mm-hmm. Lots of interesting things, little makeup items, I think, and I know RACV and a few other organisations have donated as well, so we're really lucky to have some really great sponsors on board to help with the support of the nanny industry.
Cool. So if people want to buy a ticket, where should they go?
Oh, yes, good question. So mm-hmm. they can go to the website australiannannyassociation.org.au. It's a long one, mm-hmm. but it's pretty clear cut. So australiannannyassociation.org.au, and then just look for the convention tab at the top of the page, and you'll be able to see all the guest speakers and the tickets. And the tickets are very low pricing, just enough to just cover our costs, basically. The tickets are $53 per person. It covers your whole days of events, speakers, and lunch, morning tea and afternoon tea, and a fantastic day.
Yeah, and if you want to join the ANA, become one of the leaders of the industry, it reduces your ticket as well, the cost. So jump on the website, everybody. Check it out. We'd love to see some mums and all the nannies that are listening out there, come along, get involved, and come and say hi to us. Thanks
yes,
for joining
exciting.
Us, Anne-Marie,
thanks
and we'll
Thank
chat
you.
To you again soon.
Okay, thanks. Have a
thanks.
Great day.
Bye. And I am joined on the line here, Andrea Rose here, to tell me all about an amazing event that's coming up on the Mornington Peninsula. Welcome, Andrea.
Thanks, Angela. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You've got an event coming up down on the peninsula.
Sure, it's called the Mindfulness Festival on Saturday the 28th of November. And the Mindfulness Festival is really just a chance for us to connect and live happy as a community, particularly families with teens and tweens. I think the thing is that, you know, we go through a lot of stresses in our lives, particularly teenagers, and this event's coming at a time as, you know, the pressures and stresses of the year, particularly with things like exams, are coming to an end. And it's just providing families with the chance to actually reconnect with each other and enjoy each other's company in the outdoors with a few inspiring activities as well.
Yeah, and I see Beyond Blue are getting involved.
Which is great. Beyond Blue is definitely ambassador, and we've actually got some fantastic mindfulness and de-stress health speakers, really. Dr. Jeff Toogood is a Beyond Blue ambassador, and he's a cardio, and he's got an amazing story that he particularly speaks to teenagers about.
Mm-hmm.
And also Dr. Craig Hassett, who's the co-author of a book called Mindful Learning, but kids would probably, or teenagers would probably know him more as being the creator of the Smiling Minds app that lots of our schools are starting to use now.
Mm-hmm.
And so really the day is about a chance for kids to come along with their parents, hear a couple of speakers that they might kind of be on the fringe of being interested in, and these speakers are actually going to give them an opportunity or actually suggest some alternative techniques to dealing with life challenges, and just to find ways to sort of, you know, tap into your own personal resilience and think about passions that ignite teenagers. And the great thing about Dr. Craig and Dr. Jeff and our other speaker, Ian, is they really speak very well to teenagers and draw upon their own experiences. And
fantastic. And so the event's on in down in Boneo.
That's right. It's a Boneo Maze and Mini Golf. The event is actually raising money to build a fantastic building at Rosebud Secondary College called the Wellness Pavilion,
mm-hmm.
which will help have some great wellness and counselling support programs for all of our Southern Peninsula youth. So Boneo Maze and Mini Golf have basically donated the facility for the day. All the profits raised from the day are going towards building this community venue. So adult tickets start at $25 a head. Children are $20 per person.
Mm-hmm.
And a family ticket is $80 for a family of four. And it's not just mindfulness and mental health speakers. There's going to be live music from the Warrains, Sugar Tree, Drew Bowd and the Daddy-O's and heaps of other great bands, and meditation massages and yoga workshops as well. So,
awesome. So it's a complete family-friendly event. And it's on Saturday the 28th of November from 11 till 5 p.m. And what was the website again for people to buy tickets?
The website is Southern Peninsula Arts Centre.
Mm-hmm.
.com.
Okay, and then we've got a phone number here. You can buy the tickets directly through the Boneo Maze, and that's 0359 886385.
That's great. We hope everyone just comes along and just enjoys themselves and enjoys chilling out together as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for putting on such a great event on the peninsula, and thanks for joining me on my show.
Thanks for your support.
All right, take care. My next guest I've got on the line is Karen McKinnon, who's the Clinical Director of Autism Partnership. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you.
You are the director down there, and could you tell us a little bit about what you guys do?
Sure, yeah. So I'm the Clinical Director of Autism Partnership, and we're an agency that provides a whole range of services for children with autism. We specialise in behavioural intervention, and all of the programs that we run are based on a technique called Applied Behaviour Analysis, or ABA.
Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us a little bit about autism for anybody at home that doesn't know?
Yeah, I can. So we know a lot about autism. We also don't know much about autism at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So we do know that it's a neurological disorder. We know that there's a hereditary component, so it tends to run in families. We don't really know much about the causes. There is a belief that there are different types of autism. So we're finding out that there may be different causes that sort of contribute to different sort of formulations of autism. It starts when children are very young. We can diagnose now much earlier than we could in the past. So children, you know, at 12 months and 24 months can be evaluated and receive a diagnosis of autism. Typically, children will be around 3 to 4 when they formally get a diagnosis, but certainly we're seeing children younger and younger, and those clinicians who are very skilled in diagnosis can pick it up very early.
Yeah, and I've read how important it is to try and pick it up early. There's more that can be done the sooner that it's picked up. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Early intervention is so key in autism, and we know that with the right with the intervention starting early and with the right type of intervention, autism is one of those sort of disorders of childhood where a child can go on to make very significant gains and actually make a huge amount of progress and really change the trajectory of their development with the right intervention and with starting very early. And I guess the other components are sort of the intensity of intervention that you do and how involved the parents are in following through and sort of, you know, coming up with the things that they need their child to learn.
Yeah, and for anyone that doesn't know, can you tell us a few of the signs and symptoms to look out for?
Yeah, I mean, lots of families when they're first reporting concern, we'll start with some concerns around language development. So your child may come to us and the parents may say, my child is 18 months or 2 years old and she's not talking yet or he's not talking yet. So language is certainly something, and communication is something that seems to be a very early sign. Mm-hmm. We know that it's a social communication disorder. So it's the things that you see in young children and the things that you see in children with autism as they grow are really around the social engagement with other people and the ability to communicate to and understand other people. Mm-hmm. There are some behavioural components as well. Children with autism may have a whole lot of different sort of behaviours, from sort of repetitive mannerisms like toe walking or hand flapping or inspecting little bits of toys, mm-hmm. through to children who have pretty sophisticated stereotypic behaviours, such as really liking things to be in the same order all of the time, or mm-hmm. loving certain topics that are, you know, way above their age or very different to what's typical for that age. So, you know, children who love talking about the American Civil War or really, really have a great understanding of the insides of how a clock works or something like that.
So I've noticed that in my work as a nanny, and often this can be mistaken, I think, by the parents to saying, you know, they've got this genius child and they're not really looking into it any further.
Yeah, and it can be that the child does have these amazing splinter skills where they're gifted in a number of different areas, but the profile for a child with autism tends to be a lot of sort of peaks and troughs. So they may be good at some things, but then you'll see that other things, they have pretty significant impairments that really impact their everyday functioning. So your child's ability to get along in school and to follow instructions and to be part of a group with other children, those things are the things that come up a lot for kids with autism.
Yeah, and it's an ever-increasing thing as well. I was recently at a pregnancy evening and they said the statistics are now 1 in 4 children diagnosed with autism, so it's quite alarming.
It is increasing, and people aren't really sure why. I know there's always a lot of thought around, you know, is it diet, is it vaccinations, and all of those things have pretty much been taken off the table. There's a lot of evidence to support that vaccinations is not a cause of autism, but people are questioning why. I think one of the things that all of the people, leading people in the field that I've spoken to, bring it back to is that we're just getting better at diagnosing children who are on that higher end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. So kids who 15 years ago you would have thought of as a little bit quirky or a little bit different are now getting a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah, it's interesting though that the other thing discussed recently on the show is that, you know, children in Africa and some of these poorer places don't have autism. So it's something that we Westerners are doing. It's just a matter of trying to work out what.
Yeah, well, I think there are cultural differences in the way diagnosis happens too. When you look at different countries and the way autism is dealt with, or even the ability to assess and diagnose. So there's lots of different things that are going on around the incidence and why it's increasing.
Fantastic. And can you tell us how we can get in contact with you if people want to find out any more information?
Sure. You can go to our website. It's www.autismpartnership.com.au.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we're looking forward. We know we've got Robbie coming down to talk to all of us nannies at the Australian Nanny Association too. So thank you both for helping us out.
You're very welcome. I hope you enjoy the day.
Great. Thank you. Don't forget, it's not too late to advertise in the Secrets to Health magazine. Anybody that's interested can get in contact with me through the Secrets to Health Facebook page. The next magazine will be out in December. It's our big summer fitness edition. It's going to run for 4 months across the Mornington Peninsula. So be sure to get in contact. If you're advertising the magazine, you can come on the radio show too. So it's a great way for some double publicity. Next week on the show, we are going to be talking about kids' illnesses. So we're going to be talking the canteen, which will be amazing. Andrea is going to be back on telling us about her amazing event for kids with mental illnesses. Janet McNeil's coming into the studio to tell us all about some of the hot properties that are available to buy and how you can sell your property on the Mornington Peninsula. So that's going to be great. But today was all about stress, and thank you very much to our guests. Thank you for our sponsors, Core and Janet McNeil from Harcourts. And we'll be back next week with more from Secrets to Health. But jump on the Facebook page, make sure you like us, and enter those competitions because there's always lots of great things to give away. Have a great week, and we'll chat next week. Bye.